Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 27 of the Eagle Squad podcast, featuring myself, the founded Scarab, the founded sex addicted, cocaine snorting Scarab, along with my friend Jack the Walshy. How you doing?
Hello. I'm all right, mate. I'm excited to talk about Assassin's Creed India.
Oh yeah.
And nothing else. This is going to be 2 hours of AC India chat.
Yeah, that's all you need, really. It's not like there's already been a game in India in that exact same series.
No, but Chronicles is Chronicles doesn't is like take anything off the table.
Also, like, just Chronicles is bad. Chronicles China is okay, but Chronicles India is one of the worst games I've ever played.
It looks lovely.
It's one of the worst games I've ever played.
It looks very nice.
It does, but
the art's not, and the themes, the soundtrack, not that bad.
But anyway, before we get into AC Chronicles chat, how's your week been? How you doing? What's going on? How's life?
Well, I've been spectacular. You know why?
Why?
I've got a PS5. 2 months late.
Yeah, you did.
We've fucking done it. Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
I've been playing some games. I've got a bone to pick with you.
I can't quite believe that like you actually got one, to be honest. Because you were written in that queue for like an hour, and then there just wasn't one there. And you had to hunt around.
Yeah, it was Curry's. I almost bought one twice because they sent me the email like 10 minutes late, so that would have been bad. But we've got a PS5. I've got a bone to pick with you about Miles Morales.
So what have you played so far? Just Miles Morales then?
And I finished Miles Morales. I started Cyberpunk. Been playing lots of Crash 4. What a fucking game! That was the game I was most hyped to play, even though it's cross gen. Needs to be on the PS5. Absolutely fucking incredible.
Fair. Have you played
best game of last year?
More importantly, have you played Astral's Playroom?
I stopped playing Cyberpunk so I could fucking platinum Astral's Playroom. Good. I love it so much.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It's a big old nostalgia trip, isn't it?
It is exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's so good.
I adore the start. It blew my mind with the adaptive triggers. Adaptive triggers are the future of gaming.
Well, I mean, they're not the future anymore. They're here. They're here to stay.
Yeah, but, like, this generation, in terms of, like, immersion and that, that's fucking incredible to me.
Adaptive triggers. It is pretty sick, I'm not going to lie.
Like, could you imagine doing, like, a Mexican standoff in, like, Red Dead 2, but the adaptive triggers actually work for that game?
That'd be brilliant.
How sick that'd be.
But I'm intrigued to see how many developers will actually, like, make it a focal point of their game. Because I feel like there's a limit you can go with how the variety of what you do, where it just gets to the point. Like, I think we were in a call the other day, and you mentioned, like, oh, what if you had, say, Call of Duty or another FPS, and every single gun had different recoil with the triggers? And it's like, that'd be incredible, but it would also
be... In story mode.
So, yeah, but it would also be so much detail for the developers to put in that could be put elsewhere that might be, like, more productive, more useful. So, it's interesting to see how much it will be incorporated, but I'm a fan. Just generally, the controller is easily the second best controller I've ever held.
It is nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, the first time, I was like, oh yeah, this is the best whatever. And then I went back and played Xbox 360 the other day. And the Xbox 360 controller is...
Fantastic.
It's just on another level. It's just on another level. It just cannot be beaten, unfortunately. But yeah, no, so that's sick.
It doesn't have adaptive triggers, though.
You're right, it doesn't. But what it does have is memories, and that's more important. So how did you find Miles Morales, then?
Miles Morales was fucking incredible. I did a big cry.
Very nice.
That's the most the game's made me feel since Red Dead 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
We're gonna be going into spoilers here. Joe, how you called that game mediocre?
It's just my opinion.
Oh yeah, let people enjoy things, guys. Well, let me not enjoy things, you bitch.
Exactly, let me not enjoy things. And
but you should enjoy Miles Morales, that's the exception. I will not let you not enjoy that game. It's fucking incredible.
It's okay.
It's not okay.
It's significantly worse than the first one, story-wise.
I haven't played the first one since 2018, but I enjoyed Miles Morales significantly more.
That's just a wrong opinion. Play Remastered.
I'm going to replay it. Yeah, because I've got Remastered downloaded, so I will play it. But, like, for some reason, Miles' story, mm-hmm. I suppose it's because, like, he's still figuring a lot of things out, mm-hmm. and he's still, like, you know, but, like, that's what I fucking love. That's what I like to see from Spider-Man, like, that scene where he's on the bridge, spoilers, by the way, when everything's getting all fucked up and he's, like, saving yeah. everyone, oh, and he has yeah. no idea what he's doing, but he's just trying his fucking best, and he has his big, like, classic Spider-Man 2 homecoming fucking moment where he's, like, pulling everything together. That was sick.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I like, the game's still good, don't get me wrong. It's just...
incredible, Joe.
It's not... it's just not, though, is it? There's, like...
It was fantastic.
The peaks are very high. But, like, the story...
It felt padded to me, I'll say that.
The story as a whole is just... it just has a lot of minor flaws that add up. Like, the voice acting, in my opinion, is just not up to par for most characters. For most characters. Fucking the Tinkerer.
Really?
The big bad. I've forgotten his name.
Simon Krieger. Yeah. Because he's Topher Grace in a fucking suit.
He's such a forgettable character. Fucking Aaron as well. And also, Miles' voice actor, I know for a fact, is good, but they make him do this weird, like, quirky nerd voice, and it sounds so forced at points that it just completely took me out of the game. And
I get that.
And made me completely disconnected with his character. Along with that, the story of him becoming, you know, the Spider-Man, sure, that is a great story, but, like, conceptually. However, it was done so much better in Into the Spider-Verse. And it's just...
Yeah, sure.
It felt like it retreaded old ground. The best parts to me were Miles' relationship and his conversations with his mum, with Rio.
I felt
like that was something that hadn't been explored before. And I feel like she gave the best performance in the game and was also the best written character in the game. I cared the most about their relationship more than anything else that happened. On a gameplay side... What's the company called? XCOM or whatever? They're literally just Rock Red Song. Sable. They're literally Red Sable. And I'm not going
to
lie...
Yeah, even down to, like, the aesthetic. Yeah,
from the very moment I started the game, that pissed me off. That they literally... it's the same character models, the same weapons, but painted red. And it was just... Mm. I feel like that's such a... I don't know, I felt it was kind of lazy, you know? Because it's... And they act the exact same way. So I just felt it wasn't very... There wasn't any new ground that it was really treading that I hadn't seen before, other than his relationship with his mum. And I do think the last scene was fantastic as well. And obviously it's built on a fundamentally great game, which is Spider-Man PS4, the original. I think the web-swinging was enhanced and improved. But I just don't think, as a whole, the game stacks up to the original... or is in any way a notable improvement on the original, and I was expecting that considering it is a sequel, even though it's not a fully fledged entry, or it is, depending on who you ask, you know?
I don't think it's worth $60 or however much.
I think that's a good way to put it. I think one of the biggest upgrades for me was the side missions. I think they were they did make me feel very much more connected to the world. But
I like the shit where you find in the samples. That was fucking really good.
Yeah, but there was just a lot that I think that was good at fleshing out the world, but looking at it just main story focused, it's just not like it just doesn't match up to the first. Also, it's really weird that everyone has holograms. I don't know about you, but everyone in the game.
Yeah, I watched your fucking video. You mentioned this. James mentioned it. I didn't think about it, but yeah,
that was really strange. Like, Peter has holograms, which sure he could create them, but setting them up across the entirety of New York might take some resources. And he got evicted from his apartment 2 years ago. And then Aaron, who's a fucking subway worker, just has holograms set up around the city that he built like 20 years ago that still work.
Yeah, that is a bit odd. My big issue, right, and when I said padded, I didn't mean so much story. I meant that, like, every time I was in an empty room, I was like, fucking hell, how long until 30 enemies pop up and I'm going to have to fucking do them all in.
Yep.
That was mine. And then also, I can't stand boss fights, right? Where you just want to focus on the main guy, but they just have a bunch of goons come in.
Yeah.
Right? Like the fucking the Rhino boss fight I found to be so shit.
It was pretty underwhelming since after the opening. Like, the opening was great. With Rhino, but then
the one in the garage, I mean.
That boss fight was a bit underwhelming after that opening. You know, I expected a lot.
Speaking of Rhino, the worst scene in the game and the funniest to me was when Spider-Man, fucking Miles and Finn are having a real heart-to-heart emotional moment on this church. And Rhino just drops in from the fucking sky in, like, fucking Hulkbuster suit or whatever.
Goofy. There's a lot of times where, like, the Rhino just didn't feel like he needed to be part of the game. And he was just kind of there because they needed another villain.
That was fucking... I never want to see him again in another Spider-Man game.
It was a bit strange.
Simon Krieger was the best part of that game to me.
Simon Krieger was homoerotic in every scene he did. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, like, he just... Like, you know the scene in Skyfall? Where...
not watched Skyfall.
You know, okay, well, there's a scene. What's his fucking name?
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, him. Right?
Yeah.
So he's sitting, and he's got James Bond kidnapped, right? And he sits down. He sits down right in front of him. Scene, yeah. And he just puts his hand on his leg, starts slowly stroking it, and whispering threats into James Bond's ear. That's how Simon Krieger acts in every scene of this game.
Yeah. It's weird as well when Miles is 17.
Yeah. Another thing, Miles doesn't look 17. Miles looks 25.
And no, what good point? There's people my age who look like that.
I get. But, like, I feel like he's aged, like, 10 years between Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Well, he's got a trim and he's grew a few inches, which in, like, 2 years, fair enough.
Yeah, maybe it's just because he's... Also, the ending... with the Tinkerer is fucking stupid. I'm just gonna say that.
Oh my god, Joe.
It's fucking dumb.
Don't, because I fucking dumb. Love this.
No, it's fucking stupid. Do you know why it's stupid? Right?
Why?
Because Tinkerer's doing her fucking plan, right? To mess up the reactor. And then Miles comes in and he's like, "Hey, that's gonna turn into a nuclear bomb that's gonna destroy Harlem." And she's like, "Oh, I don't trust you," which is fair enough. She's like, "Oh, I don't believe you." So she keeps going. And then it starts to blow up Harlem, right? And she just keeps going. Like, it starts to fucking detonate. She can see it. There's destruction all around. And she's just like, "Nah, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing..." And Miles is like, "No, what are you doing? Just... trust me on this one, it's blowing up Harlem, look around you." And she's just like, "Nah, I'm gonna keep going." And then she sacrifices herself as if we're meant to care. It's like, you fucking did this yourself. You were warned, like, 54 times.
Let me explain my take on this, right?
Yeah.
I like, right, the parallel between them, where Miles experienced this great loss, his father, and that inspired him to step up, and he was like, "Right, this loss has made me want to be this person, and I'm going to protect the people. I'm going to be like my dad, my hero, right?"
Yes.
And then Finn, her loss transpired into, like, rage, right? And parallel to Miles, that turns into anger against, like, the enemy and the oppressor, right?
Yeah.
That's how they're like, you fucking know.
Yeah,
so, like...
It definitely is there. I just...
But come the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
That I feel that makes sense for Finn. Then the reason why she sacrifices herself is because Miles does the fucking thing with the reactor. He does this heroic act, and so that gives Finn the chance to, like, redeem herself to an extent.
No, you know? You're right. But before that point, right, her motivations have gone completely out the window. The reactor is destroyed, and it's now blowing up Harlem, and she continues doing the shit that she's doing.
What do you mean?
But by the... Because you know how the final boss fight is massively dragged out?
No, I thought it was shorter than I thought it would be.
Fair enough. either way.
She went down quite easy for me.
But by the end, by the final moments of the game, her motivations make no fucking sense.
I disagree with that.
No. She's achieved her goal of destroying the plaza, right?
Yeah.
And she just keeps on going.
She destroys the plaza, then she fucking dies. Like,
I swear it's not that big a jump.
But the thing is, after that,
yeah,
she realised her fuck up. Miles helped her realise that by this act of heroism. And if she lived past that, she wouldn't. She would have been massively different. Well, she is massively different when she dies, mm-hmm, because of Miles' heroic act. Sort of.
Oh yeah, I see what they were trying to do. I just don't think it was executed well as
it could have been.
Because, like,
I thought it was an incredible game, better than the first.
That sacrifice could have meant more, I feel, if it had come like 5 minutes earlier, right? It's like she realizes her fuck up when it happens, because she's meant to be a fucking genius. So she realizes she's fucked up as soon as Harlem starts to be destroyed, and she's like, oh, I'll go shut it off, Miles. Get out of here. Save everyone else. And that would have been like a redeeming moment that would have made me be like, oh, she's really changed. Whereas it just, I don't know, it feels like, yeah.
Well, to me, I feel as if Finn, on the most part, is blinded and made ignorant by her sort of rage and a lot of vengeance and that. That's how I take it.
That would make sense if she wasn't presented to be a super genius who has every single part of her plan meticulously planned out.
But even super geniuses have human flaws like that,
I suppose.
You know?
Either way,
also, we can agree it's an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, the gameplay is... Also, the issue you have with the like, every moment you feel like the 30 dudes are going to appear.
Yeah.
That was so annoying.
Oh, I fucking know.
It
got tiring at a point.
Yeah, because you'd enter, like, some massive room filled with guards, right? And it's, like, it's clearly encouraging you to take them out stealthily. And then, after you've taken them all out stealthily, spending, like, 20, 30 minutes, like, focused, it'll just throw 30 more at you to fight.
It's the
most frustrating thing. So unrewarding.
I enjoy the stealth a lot, but the thing that I resent about the stealth is, you know where it says next to an enemy whether they're safe to kill? Not kill, but incapacitate. I hate that so much. Stealth is far less rewarding if you're holding my hand the entire time. Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, and I think they did that because the AI of the enemies was like kind of unpredictable. Like, if it didn't have that, but at the same time, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, we just fix the AI in that case.
Well, exactly. And
yeah,
I think it just... Maybe my expectations were too high, but I just expected... You know, I expected a little more, I guess. And but anyway, it is good. Any other PS5 games you've been playing? Black Ops Cold War. We're jumping on that after the podcast, actually.
Let's play some. Me and Joe jumped on some zombies the other day with
Adolf like? Rage Quitler. And who the fuck was it?
It was some murderer or some shit. Not actually.
Who's that serial killer?
What was it? Ted Bundy.
Yeah, it was like. It was like
MLG Ted Bundy.
MLG Ted Bundy, that was it.
Well, that was the most stereotypical game of zombies ever. Just loaded with those cunts. And like,
it was great though.
I couldn't figure out how to mute my fucking thing. And that old Rage Quitler was this 13-year-old lad who instantly started shouting at me and Joe. So, Cold War's fun. I started the campaign. It's so fucking goofy.
It's stupid. No, it's but good.
I'm not saying it's not good, but it is goofy as shit.
What do you mean, goofy?
Okay, so you're with like the cool Americans, there's fucking Woods and whatever, and there's the most stereotypical 1970s American badass ever, a 45-year-old man with a fucking No Country for Old Men haircut.
Characters are stereotypes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the first mission, fine. The second mission, you go to where? Somewhere in Turkey?
Right.
And you blow up this massive plane. Well, first of all, you like shoot a guy, but you shoot him.
Yeah.
So you can do this massive Fast and Furious 6 fucking plane chase.
Yeah.
You blow up this plane. It's not recorded anywhere.
Yeah. No. I remember when I was streaming it, at that moment I was like, this isn't something you can just cover up, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's Black Ops. Like, this is just war. This is just a fucking war. This isn't.
Yeah, it's all right though. It's just another Call of Duty, really, and we are going to hop on it after this.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue I had with it was just that it was like significantly less believable than the likes of Black Ops 1.
Yeah,
because with Black Ops 1, like most of the missions are like very off the map. It's like, oh yeah, in the middle of a gulag, so you're not going to know about it, or in the middle of a massive fucking snowy mountain in, you know, the North Atlantic or whatever. But in Cold War. It's like, I don't know if you've got to yet, so minor spoiler, but
I've literally just done the plane mission. I cashed out when I did, like, after that mission.
Yeah.
And there's all the American guys, and they're all gruff, typical fucking...
Well, minor spoiler here, but there is a mission where you infiltrate the KGB headquarters, right? So, like, the headquarters of the Soviet Union military, and shoot the entire place up. And it's just wiped off the maps. It's just no one has any recorded history of this massive shoot up in the middle of the KGB.
So it's just typical American revisionist history porn.
kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's good though. It's good. It's very Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's a great time. So honestly, it's my favorite Call of Duty since Black Ops 2.
That's such a fucking low bar, though.
Yeah, true.
Oh, Modern Warfare was meant to be good. I still haven't played it. I've got it.
But... I didn't play Modern Warfare. But because I'm more connected to Black Ops, like, from my childhood.
Like, yeah.
Cold War. Because Black Ops Cold War and Modern Warfare 2019 are basically... Or 2020... No, 2019. Are basically, like... Are spiritual successors to the original series. So it's basically whichever series you liked more, you'll like the game more. I think they're both quite similar quality-wise, from what I've heard. So
I'm more of a Modern Warfare guy, so maybe.
Right, fair enough.
I will play that at some point. The fucking PS5, this is something that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The 825 gigabytes it comes with now.
Yeah.
825 gigabytes today is worth less than the standard 500 gigabytes you'd have got with like an Xbox One in 2013.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's facts.
Because can't you use USB hard drives to store PS5 games or some shit?
You should be able to. There's a USB Blueport.
I heard you can only use it for like PS4 games or some shit though.
Really?
That'd be bizarre. I'm gonna have to look into that because I haven't.
That'd be
someone
strange.
Comment if you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because we don't know hardware, or I don't.
Because I'm
hardware.
Already full. Like,
yes,
I installed the Crew 2, and that's hit me over the edge.
Yeah,
I want to get Red Dead 2. I'm going to replay that soon.
I'm just holding out hope for a remaster. I don't think it's going to come for a while, but like, I don't want to replay it until we get one.
Well, isn't there a rumor that GTA 3 Vice City and San Andreas are getting a remaster?
That would be delicious.
The thing is, though, Rockstar remasters... The last one I remember them doing was the San Andreas one in 2014, 2015. And that was just a port, basically.
Yeah, that was a port.
I don't know if they'd do that these days, though.
No, I feel like... Yeah, I feel like it would be more of an upscale. Because, like, I don't know if you've seen them, but there's PC mods upscaling San Andreas to look like GTA 5.
I've seen some GTA 3 ones that look fucking incredible. Yeah.
So I feel like that could be possible. It won't. I don't think it'll be to that level, but
yeah.
I don't think they're just going to do a classic, like, you know, upscale the resolution and change the lighting engine.
Yeah.
I think they would do a bit more than that because Rockstar care about their product.
Yeah. So this is the thing. CD Projekt Red are like, yeah, that they're one game they had where it's like, oh, they could be some competition for Rockstar as like the best fucking, you know,
yeah,
game developer. It's got Rockstar are their own tier. Nobody is close. Yeah, not actually, even like Naughty Dog.
Yeah, well, the Cyberpunk release just made me realize how far and away higher Rockstar are than anyone else.
Love Rockstar.
Inconceivable.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Speaking of Rockstar, a Twitter trend went around the other day of ranking the Rockstar games or a tier list of the Rockstar games. So, Jack,
did you do one?
I did. I did indeed.
Tell me yours then.
How would you list the Rockstar games that you've played? Because there is a bunch that I've not played, but
yeah, me. I haven't played Manhunt. I've mainted it for fucking ages. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, top two is fucking obvious. Red Dead 2, Red Dead 1. No shit.
Okay. Okay.
Would you not have? Different. I know Red Dead 2 would be your one, but what's
different
your two?
Different for me. So
is it LA Noire?
Red Dead 2 and then LA Noire, yeah.
Taste. I like that.
Yep.
Okay. I'd go Red Dead 2.
It's an honor.
Red Dead 1.
Mm-hmm.
GTA 5 and then LA Noire.
Okay.
Which.
I think a lot of people would disagree with you about GTA 5 being that high.
Oh, I know they would, but yeah, like, actually, San Andreas might be better than LA Noire.
That's fair. No, that is fair. I
fucking love LA Noire, right? But like, it's more its style, and it's fucking
it's true. It's
more
its style.
Fuck off. It's more its like atmosphere and its vibe, its soundtrack and that. But when it comes to like side content and general just fun gameplay,
Yeah,
the GTA games are far. There's far much more to do.
Definitely.
You know, like it's LA Noire's not near as replayable as a GTA 5 or San Andreas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very open that I'm biased towards LA Noire. Like, it's the least Rockstar-y game out of anyone they've made in the last 15 years.
Oh, for sure.
And it's definitely like I'm very open. I'm very biased towards it. Okay, so fair enough.
It is a fantastic game.
Would that be like your top two tiers then?
Well, yeah, that's mine. Red Dead 2, Red Dead 1, masterpieces. Okay. Some of the best fucking games ever, right, up there. GTA 5, San Andreas, LA Noire, Bully, GTA Vice City, GTA 3, and then I played Max Payne briefly. A bit of it a few years ago, but not enough to like rank it, you know.
What about GTA 4?
Oh yeah, fucking! I put GTA 4 above Bully, below LA Noire.
Fair enough.
I like GTA 4, but it's not as good as people say. The save system really fucks me off.
Oh yeah, that was a bit nippy back in the day.
I like though that it's far more like because GTA 5. Gets so silly, and I realise GTA 4 is also very satirical, but with the way fucking GTA 5 goes with, like, there's the time when Michael nicks, like, for, like, the FIB, you know, the mission where he nicks the fucking
nuclear thing?
Yeah, it's like, the stakes in GTA 5 are sky high, but I prefer 4, where it's like, personal, you know, yeah, exactly. Story. Even if I don't prefer like the characters and the vibe,
they also
they prefer the vibe.
I appreciate the atmosphere and like the switch up they were trying to go with GTA 4, but I will always despise the driving as well.
I like it for getting from place to place, but races in GTA 4, fucking horrible idea.
Yeah, I can't handle it. All right, well my ranking quick would be Red Dead 2 above and beyond everything else. Far away the best game of all time. Then you got LA Noire, Red Dead 1 and San Andreas. That'll be the next tier. Then GTA 5 and GTA 4 basically indistinguishable for me. Bully, you got The Ballad of Gay Tony, which is arguably the best DLC of any game.
You count them as games?
Well, they released as individual games.
I know they did, but it's like, yeah.
Well,
Cry, though.
I suppose, in the tier list, you have them as separate games. And I consider Ballad of Gay Tony worthy enough to, like, be... I think it's the best DLC of any game ever.
Right.
To be honest. And then just below that, you got GTA Online, GTA, the biker one. You got Max Payne 3. You got Table Tennis, which slapped back in 2006. And then right at the bottom, in the absolute trash tier, is Red Dead Online.
We are not counting. You can release it separately or you're like, Red Dead Online is not a game.
I'm just listing off the tier list, bro. So,
Joe, we need to play Red Dead Online because it actually is a lot of fun.
That'd be sick. When it released, we could just get it on PS5 to be honest.
Because that's where I've got all my progress.
Yeah,
I played that a fuck ton in 2019, 2018.
I could restart so I could get rid of my absolute terrible character.
What was your character?
Oh, I took the piss so hard because I didn't believe in it. Because obviously I started Red Dead Online like the day it came out.
Me too.
And there was no content, so I just fucked about. I made my character like he looks like a burnt fajita.
Right.
That's not fajita. What's the tortilla? He looks like a burnt tortilla. So
okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. Nah, but I fucking love Red Dead Online. Like, PvP in GTA 5 is so shit. But in Red Dead Online, have you seen Walshy Classic? Red Dead Online is not that bad.
I can't say it. Oh, no, of course I have, yeah.
Be honest.
I thought it was going to be like a GTA Bikers, but on Red Dead Online.
Oh, fuck. GTA Bikers. I'll never...
You need to public... Or unlist it, at least.
Could you imagine if that was my first video... in a month, GTA Bikers Season 1, Episode 3.
You should bring back GTA Bikers.
Do you reckon? What, I'm not even going to edit, I'm still going to make it in the Rockstar edit.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Oh man, I fucking love that series. Because, you know when you're like new to YouTube, and you put your blood, sweat and tears into every video, and everyone's an achievement?
Yeah.
That was GTA Bikers to me, and all my GTA content from 2017. I remember I would get like an hour, 2 hours sleep for school the next day.
Yeah.
Because I was just making... There was like a month period where all I did was make GTA videos, because I loved it that much.
That's kind of sick.
The videos are fucking terrible.
But you had a passion. But it was like, you had a passion.
Well, yeah, because I was 13 and I wasn't, you know... A fucking IC YouTuber yet, so I wasn't, you know.
Yeah. I get you. Fuck me, this conversation has just gone all the way over the place.
This is every part. I said this last time, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a depressing fucking documentary on being an IC YouTuber. That's what this podcast is.
As always. So, what do you have planned to play on that's a good question. How is Cyberpunk running on PS5?
Mate. Okay, I've played an hour and a half. Okay. A lot of that was tutorial, because there's like an optional tutorial you can do, and that was like 20 minutes.
Right.
But you know what? It's not... Well, like, it's so early to fucking judge, because you can't judge like a game like The Witcher from the first hour. Well, you can, because the opening's fucking incredible, but like, Cyberpunk, in terms of glitches and that, there's been... a few, like, fucking frame drop issues and shit.
Right.
But it's not been, like, unplayable. I'm only an hour and a half in, so I'll see how it goes going forward. Because now I've finished Spider-Man, I'm just going to be, like, burning through that and Crash.
What are your thoughts on the actual game so far, though?
Well, that's it. I'm so early in, but it's quite good. I like the hand-to-hand combat.
Have you reached Night City yet?
I didn't play as the Nomad because you told me that you didn't get that first drive into Night City like you told me.
Nah, you don't.
Well, so I went for the Street Kid.
Everyone gets the same cutscene or a similar cutscene, so
that's fucking
end up annoying. In the same place, which is still fucking stupid. Why did they even
make it when you meet Jackie?
I'm guessing so.
It's alright so far. It is quite early to judge, but next week... Not quite
living up to the expectations of one of the best games of all time, then.
No, I mean, like, the city still looks... There's nowhere near enough, like, traffic or civilian density.
Okay.
The city feels far too empty.
Right.
But, like, if they had that down and they made it all metropolitan and shit, would be fucking lovely, because it does look quite nice.
I've also heard that every single shop is just a sex toy shop, and it gets a bit tedious.
I haven't been shopping yet, but I'll tell you what, next week I'll have played another 10-15 hours and I'll be able to give you a spoiler-free review.
Fair
of
enough.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Are you playing as female or male?
Male. Well, they don't have, like, they don't have genders.
So, Jack, wait, what do you mean they don't have genders?
Well, like, you don't pick male or female. People will decide how they'll address you off what voice you pick.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm not gonna. That's actually quite cool.
You can't change the way you look in game, though. I don't think like plastic surgery and that. Which in a game that would make a lot of sense.
The more important question, though, is what cock did you give yourself? What cock?
I didn't get a cock option in my fucking character customization.
What?
It was just your hair, your eyes. I must have missed something. It was your hair, your eyes, and then I went in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wait, can you change your character afterwards? Oh, you must be able to, right?
Sure. Well, I don't know how you change your cock length.
I haven't... No, but in a game like Cyberpunk, you should be able to. In a game that's true to the genre, you should be able to.
Interesting to see.
That's all right.
In 56 years' time, we'll be able to customize our cock length.
In an
ideal world, of course.
Can't you actually fucking do it? Not like customize, but there's like, fucking medication and shit.
I don't think that works. What are you talking about? Like the weird ads you get on certain websites.
Don't steroids give you smaller cock?
No, they give you tiny, tiny bollocks because your testosterone production stops working.
But okay, that's close.
That's a good thing, though.
We're getting there.
That's a good thing, because if your bollocks are smaller, then your cock looks bigger, so. Not that I know from experience or anything.
Nah. All right.
Guys, fantastic. I'm not on steroids. You know who is on steroids? More people than you'd think.
Well, yeah, because steroids aren't inherently bad.
Oh, no, of course not. No,
it depends on the type of stuff. Like, I was ill once in like year three, and they gave me steroids. They called them steroids.
I mean, performance enhancing drugs. More people are on performance enhancing drugs than you'd think, but most people just don't, because you need extremely good genetics to look like a bodybuilder or whatever. Anyway, that's a side note. I don't know how we got.
Yeah.
I could go on a full 2-hour rant about steroids and the fitness industry.
Know you could, but let's not.
Make sure to change
the subject. Talk about the big Resident Evil woman. It's like a vampire or some shit.
Yeah, Village looks so sick. I'm not playing the demo just because I want to go into the full game like completely.
Hasn't the whole thing been leaked? Like the script?
Probably. That happens with every game these days. It's really annoying. I'm actually sick of leaks. Just stop leaking games. Just fucking get them.
And what do you think of the big woman?
She's fit.
No, she's not.
Just to be honest, she just is fit.
I don't fucking get this. This is the most bizarre internet obsession I've seen in a fucking while.
Anyway, I mean, she just
Do you remember a year and a half ago where it was Alvin and the Chipmunks, like Rule 34, and people decided who was getting the best
head? I mean, Theodore was basically...
Theodore.
It was definitely Theodore, without a doubt, but...
Wait, Theodore's the green one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the green one.
They're cutting you. This is the stupidest fucking conversation.
But no, she is fit.
In so long.
I assume she's going to be fucking terrifying. But again, I'm not playing the demo. Have you played the demo?
No, I've not. I don't know if it's my sort of thing. I played Resident Evil 7 when it came out. Really fucking loved it. I had the fight with the dad in the fucking
That is terrifying.
It was sick.
Terrifying. Your
hand gets chopped off and you like someone staples it back on or some shit.
Yeah.
That was fucking weird. But there was puzzles. I got to the first puzzle and I was like, ah, no.
Yeah, stop putting puzzles in games. That's another thing.
I like PSP. Puzzles, just not hard ones. Ones that make me feel intelligent, I can fucking take.
Yeah, no, ones that point you in the exact right direction and basically lead you through them to give you some sense of satisfaction, even though you didn't really do anything or utilize your mind in the slightest. Those are okay. But
Uncharted puzzles are good.
Yeah. But, I'm not like a big horror game fan generally. But, Resident Evil is just so good. I don't know what it is about the Resi games, but
have you played 4?
No, I can't say I have played
4. Play 4. 4's really fucking good.
I've heard that it's really, really good.
That's the one I've completed. It's like the most B-movie game ever. It's fucking sick.
Like B-movie, like the letter B, or like the B-movie?
No, not like the Jerry Seinfeld B-movie. I mean like a fucking, you know, the letter B, yeah.
Right, okay. But
in other news, there's a new subgenre of man that's released.
Well, hold up, we'll get to that. Before you get onto that, speaking of the creator of the B-movie that I've already forgotten the name of because it's irrelevant now, Larry King tragically passed away.
Oh, recently. Yeah.
Obviously, he's got an iconic interview with Jerry Seinfeld where he asks him if he got cancelled. Jerry Seinfeld goes, "Cancel! We were the number one show on the network." Seinfeld's a fucking artist.
did you hear his album with Wale? Or it wasn't his album, but it was a good album.
Wale.
Yeah, you know Wale.
No, I know Wally. The Pixar character.
Nah, he did this album with a guy called Wale. You should fucking know him. It's very good.
Jerry Seinfeld did an album.
No, he's like... It's hard to explain. He's like a feature on this album. Not a feature. It's like...
Imagine hitting up Jerry Seinfeld and just being like, hey, can you write a verse? Can you...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Monster featuring Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj, and Jerry Seinfeld.
Can we do a Sigma Males now, please?
Oh, do you just really want to talk about this? Larry King. Yeah, Larry King wasn't a Sigma Male, was he?
No, he was an Alpha Male.
Yeah. The thing is, new version of Man dropped a few months ago. You're kind of late on the whole Sigma Male thing.
No, because I found out through Twitter.
Oh, of course, but, you did.
But what? Would you rather I actually unironically watch Sigma Male content?
Yeah, I would. So if you didn't know, which you shouldn't, because this niche of content on YouTube is and the internet is fucking bizarre. But so basically, there is scientifically there were two, and now there's three or four or five. I think there's four types of men.
There's a big pyramid.
Yeah, according to self-improvement YouTubers, you've got the alpha male, the beta male, the sigma male, and the omega male, which is, yeah. So this has popped up over the past year because I guess these content creators just ran out of things to talk about when it comes to alpha and beta. So do you want to explain what a sigma male is?
Well, a sigma male is equal to the alpha male, but they lie outside of the traditional social hierarchy.
Right.
And they're very desirable, and I've got a list of 12 things that make you a sigma male, and I want to read these out to you because I think you're a sigma male.
To be clear, this is just astrology, but for dudes. Just to be clear. Anyway.
That's exactly what it is. Well, it is sort of based on something, but it's still bullshit. It's more credible than astrology, but it's still fucking bollocks.
Oh, I found another one. The Zeta male. Okay, let's go.
That's right at the back of the alphabet, so surely that's shit.
You'd assume so. But, I mean, beta's right at the start, and that's shit too.
What's the Omega's just... The Omega's the worst one, isn't it?
I think the Omega's like 2020 M&M.
Oh.
No, that sounds so random, but I saw a video about the Omegas and they just they use this like weird.
Why are you watching this content? Why are you engaging with this shit?
This weird fucking Microsoft Word clip art of like someone wearing a hoodie and a cap. That just looked exactly like Eminem in that BET cipher. Yeah, no, so what is a Sigma male then?
Well, most of these 12 traits to me sound like you. One, he loves being alone, but he values other people.
Sure.
He's a silent leader.
Okay, thanks.
He knows how to adapt to different situations. That's quite vague, so, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like all of
Some of these get a bit more specific, Joe. Okay, don't doubt the system. He knows how to... He treats everyone around him the same way. I don't think that's true.
I do.
Okay. Five, he doesn't need a social circle to be himself, unlike alphas.
Do you know what this is, right? Do you know what this is?
What?
So they've created this idea of alpha males and beta males, right? But then people were feeling left out. And do you know who was feeling left out?
Sigma males.
The massive fucking loners who also want to feel strong and cool. So they've made Sigma males to be like, oh, this Sigma male just doesn't have any friends and doesn't have any intimate relationships and is hated by all his peers. But he's really attractive and cool and mysterious. Trust me.
He's not hated. He's very desirable. Have you heard of the...
It's like...
Joe?
It's like... Yeah?
Have you heard of the Sigma male?
Oh.
Sigma balls.
Oh. But you know, like, this is epic. They've taken the fucking... It's like they took the whole idea of the alpha male and they were like, oh yeah, you want to improve yourself to try and reach this point. But now it's just like, oh, you fit into one of these predetermined categories, just like astrology.
No, they're outside of the box, man. They're not bad.
No, they prefer to
walk to the beat of their own drum.
But what I'm saying is the people who are creating this and putting this out there, right? They initially wanted, like, their intention was to help people improve to become, you know, I guess, alpha.
Yeah.
But now it's just like there's 100 different preset types of... It's like fucking races in Skyrim. It's like you pick the type of male you are or female.
Which one are you? Joe, you know this better than I do. Which one are you?
Is this the new... I remember you went through a phase of loving personality types. Is this the new thing for you?
No, I think this is fucking funny and stupid.
Good.
But I want to know which you think you are.
Which one do you think you are?
I don't know. I'm not an alpha. I doubt I'm a sigma.
An omega male is a man who chooses not to have a powerful or important role in a social or professional situation.
That sounds like me.
So he chooses it instead of the beta male who just fucking fails.
Okay. So the beta male is weak, but the omega male isn't necessarily weak. They just choose not to step to the plate.
Yeah, it's a man who, defying all male stereotypes, doesn't have the desire to be the most outstanding performer or to take the lead in a particular situation.
Yeah, that's me.
Their interests include an intense interest in a particular hobby, which consequently draws his time and energies away from the conventionally important things in life, like work or romantic relationships. He's a fun-loving but non-aspirational individual who is reluctant to grow up by embracing classical social imperatives like marriage, family, and holding down a regular job.
You know what, Joe? I'll buy into this now. That is me.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, what are you?
This is malleable. It's malleable. I hate this deterministic mentality of astrology and this bullshit, whatever it's called, because it just tries to fit you into one box, and then it gives you an excuse to just be like, oh yeah, I'm this, so therefore I don't have to do anything else. I can just fit into my box and be comfortable all the time. No, fucking break out. Force yourself to be uncomfortable. Force yourself into different situations. Force yourself into situations you're not comfortable with. That's the only way you can improve.
You can't do that though, Joe. There's five subsets of man. It's very binary. How do you not get this?
It just pisses me off because so many people will actually unironically buy into this, and then they're just left thinking that they're going to be one way for their entire life when it's malleable. You can change, you can improve.
Right,
You can, you know.
Joe, anyway. just cut the bullshit. Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, or Omega. Which are you?
The fuck is Delta?
I don't know. It's on this triangle.
And Gamma?
See, Omega sort of sounds like you also.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Non-aspirational.
Okay, well, I'm sort of aspirational. I don't know.
I have my entire life planned out until I'm 80 years old.
Well, that's just fucking... See, you can't that's be a Sigma. That's just psychopathic. Yeah, you're not a Sigma. So you are... What's a Delta? Let's have a look at this.
I think I'm probably... Okay. A Gamma is adventurous, eager, aware, empathetic. That's just everyone! That's just fucking everyone!
Not everyone is empathetic and adventurous.
Everyone is empathetic.
No, they're not. That's everyone why fucking sociopaths exist.
Everyone has built-in ingrained empathy. Oh, yeah. So if you're not a Gamma male, then you're a sociopath.
No. But you can be empathetic, but not adventurous. Or you could be empathetic and adventurous, but not eager. You know?
Oh, the Delta male is resigned, resentful, self-sabotaging,
lonely.
I'm probably Sigma, I guess, if I had to say, but I'm not any of them.
Oh, what is he basically? It's not an alpha male, but quirky.
It's not predetermined.
You are cunning, self-confident, likable, and calculated.
But I'm... it's just fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb. People can't be fit into these boxes.
Nah, but see, that's a very Sigma male trait. You're being humble about this.
No, an alpha wouldn't. This is as stupid as racism. This is as stupid as saying...
Wait, what?
This is just as stupid as saying someone is this way because of this color of their skin. That's how stupid this is. This is so fucking retarded.
Joe,
actually can't get over it.
I'm on the site now, and all these traits fit you. So it must be true.
There are more traits than four.
Well, yeah,
you're not
going to
bait me
into
getting
just...
angry. I'm done with this.
Okay. Well, I'm happy with being an Omega male. All right. Sure.
Don't be. Don't.
Wait,
be happy.
Do women have these?
You assume so. No, they don't.
They're all...
They have astrology. That's what I'm saying. Women have astrology.
Astrology's worse than this.
And no, it's not. They're the exact same. Actually,
they're not the exact same.
Astrology makes slightly more sense because it has some grounding in like past, you know, like actual things happening.
And this is more grounded than astrology. This is still bullshit.
No,
on actual personality traits.
No, this is just made up. This is just completely made. It's just taking certain character traits that may be present in certain people and putting it together. This is completely arbitrary and made up. Whereas
yeah, but you at least have to take those
at
character
least in
traits
the past, over the past
with fucking astrology.
Over thousands of years of human civilization.
It's also
astrology has been a thing that has existed, and although it's been obviously fucking debunked and it isn't real, at least it has some grounding in some historical happenings. That was the wrong
yeah,
word.
But just because some cunt believed it 1,000 years ago doesn't give it, you know, any more credence.
It does give it more credence, actually.
In fact, that gives it less because
people
were fucking stupid.
No, it gives it significantly
stupid.
More credence. It gives it more credence than some dude who's addicted to porn just making it up and then posting a video about it on a shitty YouTube channel with word art clip art.
No. I agree it's fucking stupid, but it's based. People have character traits.
Did you say it's based?
No. It's based on fucking I can't do this. That's the worst Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed
really based.
It's too based for you to understand. This is why you're a fucking Sigma male. You're outside the hierarchy.
No, I'm at the top of the hierarchy. Let's not get that mixed up. I'm actually not.
I will be. Is this a promise?
Fucking hell.
Are you going to be at the top of the male class hierarchy?
Yes. Just human. The human hierarchy. I'm going to be at the top of it. You know who
Wait,
is?
So like,
you know who what? Else is a good old Sigma male?
John Wick.
Nah, King Kong.
Yeah, oh, he's fighting fucking Godzilla. Why am I saying that?
He's fighting Godzilla again, as if they've not done it thousands of times. But this time, Millie Bobby Brown's in the film.
So King Kong is just a big monkey. Godzilla's a fucking entity.
Let's clear this up, okay?
No.
If you're not Team Kong, then you're a fucking bandwagon. If you're not Team Kong, you're a glory chaser. Because sure, Godzilla has all the advantages, but it's a classic David versus Goliath story. And the fact of the matter is, King Kong is the underdog.
Well, yeah, but David Goliath is a fiction. And King, if you tell, King, so is this, but like...
King Kong is a part of nature. He's a part of Earth. He's on the side of humanity.
Yeah, but Godzilla's fucking huge.
Yeah, but King Kong has heart. That's more important.
No, he doesn't. Oh, he sort of did in the 2006 film.
Yeah.
You ever watched that with Aiden fucking Brody?
And he's in love as well.
So. Yeah, nah, listen. Godzilla to King Kong is what we would be to King Kong if we were to fight him.
That's not true.
Well, yeah, because fucking... If you're doing like a ratio...
So are you telling me you're Team Godzilla then?
I would prefer King Kong to win because the 2006 film won me over a bit.
Realistically, I want him to win.
I want him to win, but if he does, that's fucking bollocks.
No, that's fine. As long as you're Team Kong, that's fine.
Okay, but realistically...
King Kong's a fucking sick story. It's just been driven into the mud. Same with Godzilla.
Now, the 2014 Godzilla film was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but I swear there's like one every 3 years.
Yeah, listen...
There's been 12 King Kong films produced. Jesus.
Fuck me. So... But yeah, listen...
Oh, okay. The first time they fought was in 1963, and King Kong won.
That's fucking stupid as well. That doesn't make sense.
No, King Kong, brute strength-wise, is stronger than Godzilla.
Why?
King Kong...
Can you imagine what Godzilla's fucking muscle mass is like?
Wait, I think that's wrong. Hold on.
That's fucking stupid. He would have to outsmart him, because King Kong would be smarter than Godzilla. It would have to be some sort of technicality.
Okay, Kong isn't bulletproof. Godzilla ate a nuke.
Yeah, exactly.
I really want King Kong to win, man.
I want him to win, but he fucking shouldn't. He wouldn't. If you pit them against each other, right, in real life, Godzilla would just fucking step on him.
I've got their side-by-side stats. So, Godzilla is 393 feet to King Kong's 104 feet. Hold up. King Kong has increased to 200 feet. He'll be 296 feet by the time he fights Godzilla. Okay.
What the fuck? Why? He's never been that big. He's always just been a massive monkey.
He still is a massive monkey.
No, but he's a superhuman fucking godlike monkey.
Primates, more specifically gorillas, can lift from 10 to 15 times their weight. Kong will easily weigh 80 to 85k tons. Kong is also a very good jumper, while Godzilla is a lumbering tank. Kong also weaponize anything he gets his hand on. Bridge cables as whips, cars are trained as knuckles, power pillars as spears. Hell, he can even break one of Godzilla's plates and pierce his throat with it. And for those who say Kong was nearly killed by fire, watch the scene again. Kong had to deal with... Okay, that's fucking dumb.
Well, that's the thing, is they've bastardised the character of King Kong now. He's just a fucking... He basically is just Godzilla now, but also smart.
No, that's not true. He's the massive underdog. Intelligence, enough to figure out the... Yeah.
Well, he's not. He's like 20 feet shorter than him, which when you're at that height is fucking nothing.
King Kong is much more intelligent than Godzilla. But Godzilla does have atomic breath.
This is so fucked. That's not King Kong versus Godzilla at that point. It's Godzilla versus smarter Godzilla.
No, it's not, because Godzilla's stronger and has atomic breath.
A fucking atomic? What, is he not going to do
shit? No, this is like Batman v Superman.
Oh, do you remember all the fucking debates about that?
Not the film, Batman v... Not the hit 2016 Zack Snyder film, Batman v Superman. Just the topic.
Hmm.
Also, Batman's beating Superman every single time. I don't care what anyone says. Every single time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Yeah, I'm Team Kong. And if you're not Team Kong, then you're a traitor to the world.
I want Kong to win, but it's not going to fucking happen. It shouldn't happen. None of them are going to win, though, are they? None of them are going to win in the actual film.
I think Kong will win.
Yeah, of course you do, because you're a fucking Kong shit.
Here's another comparison. Quora is the best website for these. Okay. Durability. All right, Godzilla wins this. He tanked a nuke.
Where are these stats from? Who's Fair got enough. These stats and this from is whom?
Hossam Saleh. Okay.
I don't know. I don't fucking trust him.
Stamina. Godzilla was once pinned beneath a skyscraper that collapsed on him while he was catching his breath. So that's not a good sign. Atomic breath, well, that's a 1.2 million degrees Celsius, though you'll have to dodge that. Spiral ray and nuclear pulse moves, yep, Godzilla has that. Yep, okay, yeah, probably. Yep. Do you want to hear? I'm going to read out the last paragraph of this core answer. So that's my reason on why and how Godzilla could beat the everlasting shit out of the false king of a tiny island. Still saddens me that Kong-tards are still being Kong-tards even at Godzilla's time of shine, despite the fucking fact that Godzilla's going to be stronger in the sequel and will fight kaiju more powerful, lol. What a bunch of kids. Can't wait to see their faces when they see his battle with Ghidorah and his victory. They'll soon know who's the true king of the titans. They'll regret underestimating Godzilla. Maybe I will. I'm a dirty Kong-tard, but...
You are a fucking Kong-tard, exactly. Whereas I'm a Godzilla enjoyer, you know?
Speaking of fights and matchups, I don't know if you saw, but Conor McGregor fought Dustin... I'm not going to say a second name. Poirier? I can't pronounce anything. Yeah, you got it. For the second time this weekend, and he got shat on.
I've heard about this, yeah.
It was an okay fight.
When's he gonna fight Jake? Doesn't Jake Paul have an unannounced fight?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. So
but that's not happened. No fucking way.
So I mean, at this point, right? Connor's what, 30 in his mid-30s, right?
Yeah, he's getting on now.
I don't see him fighting high level UFC. He's 32, so maybe he's got like. Okay. Maybe like 2-3 more fights in him, but I don't see him I don't see him fighting high level UFC fights for more than that. So the question is, what does he move on to? Does he go to WWE like Ronda Rousey did?
Oh, that would be embarrassing.
I think that'd be good. I think that'd fit well. Ronda Rousey made a seamless transition to it. So did Brock Lesnar.
I suppose he's like a character, but like...
And and that's the thing. He's got so much charisma. The only thing you'd worry about is that he's just going to actually fucking beat someone up if he gets pissed off. But
yeah. I think he should fight Jake Paul.
That's the other option.
That would be more embarrassing than the WWE.
Especially if he loses.
I don't think he... It's just the fucking concept... of him gonna fight Jake fucking Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it... Nothing's ever... I think he... Oh, okay, so he did actually regard him in a recent interview. He called him a confused little kid. So maybe we won't get that fight, but... I think if Jake beats KSI, which I don't think is gonna happen... Then
are they fighting?
Well, yeah, they're gonna be fighting in like a year and a half time.
Yeah.
I think that could definitely be, like, Jake could legitimately make a transfer over into professional boxing and fight some real, actual opponents. But if Conor McGregor stooped to his level, it would be so disappointing.
Yeah, it fucking would have been. I don't know shit about this, so let's read some community topics.
Fair enough. Wait, real quick. What? Just quickly, before we move on.
Yeah.
What YouTube boxing fights do you want to see?
Next. Me versus you. How about that?
Do you want to see that? You just see my elbow against your face.
I'll fucking dodge it, won't I? And then I'll give you a swift fucking uppercut.
I get the impression that you're really fast. I feel like you've got some running legs.
Nah, I don't know.
I feel like you're like an agile, like, I don't know.
Well, when I used to do some fucking karate in school, I suppose I was.
Yeah.
But like, my defense was so dog shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Realistically, I wouldn't want to do a YouTube boxing match.
Yeah, but I feel like if you had to name your best physical skill, I get the impression that you're fast. What would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably would be it.
Yeah. The exact opposite of me. I'm a lumbering Hulk.
That's what we could do then. We could start a new trend, YouTube racing.
I mean, I think that was done with because didn't Jake Paul hold like an Olympics in LA like
last year? When did Jake Paul hold the Olympics?
Not the Olympics, but it was like the YouTube Olympics to like try and prove that he was the Challenger Games, yeah, in LA.
Yeah, no, because for sports time
that he was the fastest YouTuber, and then he got destroyed by Tobe Jizzle.
Oh, fair enough. Jizz. Sports day in my old school always got picked for the 100 metres.
Let's go.
I did twice, but
I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to be the one representing my house, but I always came last in the qualifiers. Like, I was that slow.
I was dog shit at 800 because I had fuck all stamina, but I was quite decent at 100, 200 metres.
Yeah, that'd be sick. When I come to Birmingham, we'll go for a run.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll go for a run and then I'll leave. Like, I'll just come down just for a run.
That sounds like an epic. How do we get on this many tangents? Right.
It's great. It's great
community topics.
We do have community topics,
The Nest Discord. You're not server, in the Mario Discord. 5380, Epic Gamer. He says, thoughts on the Harry Potter HBO Max show?
I mean, I don't really have any thoughts as of right now.
Me neither.
Like,
we know fuck all about it. Who's involved?
Well, yeah,
what?
That's the thing. Like, it's just been announced. What, yesterday?
Yeah.
So, I think. I mean, it was a long time coming, but it was always going to happen. Harry Potter was always going to get the Star Wars and Marvel treatment of, you know, the universe being expanded into thousands of different shows and spin-off films and games. It just took a bit longer than Star Wars and Marvel. Let's just hope that Disney don't buy the rights to it. But it, depending on what it could be, depending on what it is, it could be great, it could be terrible. I'm just excited to see them expand the universe more because I feel like we've seen a very narrow sliver of the universe. It's really only been, you know, England,
exactly.
England and the US between, like, what, 1920 and then, like, 1999. That's all we've seen. Like, you've got like the fucking Durmstrang. You've got schools around the world. Maybe we could see fucking magic in like,
Bourbitons. They're French.
Yeah, we could see magic in like Asia, maybe, or you know what, anything. There's so much potential.
That's the one thing I hope they don't do. I don't want to see anything set within like 20 years.
Yeah,
of like, you know, the fucking books, because
I wouldn't mind.
Don't
that.
Fucking touch Cursed Child, Scorpio, and that stupid shit. Decanonize that book. It's fucking
definitely,
horrible.
Definitely.
Or script, you know. But yeah.
I think I'd be okay with like the time period being the same if it showed like a show where you saw the ramifications of everything that was happening at Hogwarts, but around the world, you know? Because obviously you'd assume that Voldemort's return would have a knock-on effect. So I'd love to see...
Yeah,
like,
I'd guess so.
How it would affect, like, fucking, you know, a fucking Australia or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing, is, like, the world and the lore of Harry Potter is really fucking sick, but like the world of Harry Potter is just England and then also America.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
honestly, that's why I think the Fantastic Beasts. Well, I don't think Fantastic Beasts should have ever been made into a series, first of all. But it just doesn't interest me at all because it's like I just know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I want to see some like Italian or fucking Tunisian wizards or some shit.
It would also be nice if J.K. Rowling wasn't involved. That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me personally, but I understand why it would be for plenty other people. But
yeah,
I mean,
there you go.
Fantastic Beasts 3 is still set to come out for some fucking reason. So,
oh my god, fucking hell, why?
Also, it's going to probably be on HBO Max, which is a shame.
I hate that. The fucking Sopranos prequel film is coming out on HBO Max. That would have been sick to see in the cinema. Yeah,
it's... streaming services have just fully become like the same as cable TV was back in the day.
And it's so sad. Resent that.
Streaming services were meant to be the opposition to cable. They were meant to be the opposition to having to buy a package of 50 different channels. But now streaming services are in themselves just channels. They're just TV channels.
Basically.
And
I hate how much cinema and television as mediums are starting to mesh now. Cinema should still be this like magical experience, you know?
I couldn't agree any more.
I know you feel very fucking passionately about this.
Very passionately about this because I think they are. They're different mediums for a reason. You know? And it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that crossing them over as much as they are being crossed over is just going to lead to lower quality films as opposed to higher quality TV shows. You know?
Fucking exactly.
Like, you got, like, if you look at other, like, fucking the Prison Break film.
Oh my god.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Fucking dog shit.
It's like, I just don't see it happening. I think when it comes to, like, universes, it works, you know? I think with the MCU, it's the right path to go down because having, you know, we've already got 23 fully fledged films in the MCU, and a lot of them could have been series, like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And they have a film budget as well, is the thing.
But, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp didn't have to be a film. It could have just been, like, an eight-episode show that you watch once, you know? So, like, I think it works for that, but when it comes to, like, proper, actual creative endeavors, it's just a bit. Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly.
There's another show that's ending on with a film. What is it?
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, that's it.
That'd be sick though, because once you've watched that, you gotta come down here and we're gonna watch the Peaky Blinders. Could you imagine that? Peaky Blinders in a cinema. Especially down here, that'd be fucking wild.
But then that's the thing, it might not even go to cinemas, it might just be on the streaming service and just be longer.
Could you imagine if it is just on BBC?
Yeah.
Just watch that on BBC One. Look, it's a fucking extended episode.
Is it? Yeah.
But fucking letterboxed.
That's what these have been in the past, so, you know. But Harry Potter HBO show could be okay.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, there's... other than Fantastic Beasts 2, there isn't really any reason... And J.K. Rowling being a dickhead. There isn't any real reason that I'm like, I should be worried. You know?
Yeah.
Like they have, exactly. It's not like Assassin's Creed where they've given us a reason to be skeptical about every single thing they create.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's reasons that there is reason to be optimistic, and I kind of am. I hope it's good.
I just love to see the fact that they're actually using the universe. They've wasted, like, the games license, for example. They've wasted it for 10 years plus.
Oh, I know, and I hate the fact you can't fucking buy the games anymore because EA don't have the fucking license.
It's depressing, man. It's depressing.
So that sucks.
Moving on from there, though, Triple O
in a Vietnam.
It's the Vietnam. Shout out, Billy. I love Billy.
We love you, mate.
That video is never gonna die, though. Never going to be forgotten.
It is superb. Anyway,
AJ 000 says, discuss the situation with Xbox Gold. Now, this situation, I gave up on following because there were so many changes going about. So I kind of just stopped.
Wow.
I just stopped looking at Twitter. So do you, if for anyone who doesn't know what happened, do you want to explain it to them?
Yeah, I will. Okay, basically, a few days ago, Xbox announced that they were going to raise the price of Xbox Live. So what would originally get you 6 months of service would be 3 months, and like a year, they were basically doubling the prices. And so I think a year of Xbox Live Gold costs like over £100. It would be like 120 or some stupid shit. And then the very next fucking day, they put out this tweet like, guys, we hear you, we've made a mistake, we're not, you know, that typical corporate we've made a mistake bullshit, as if they fucking care.
I saw the one where they were like, oh, we want the best for you, and it's like, no you don't, no you don't, because you never would have made that decision in the first place.
And the fucking comments are like, yes, this is why I'm an Xbox person. And that's what they fucking want you to do. They want you to think they're this like relatable company that cares for you as a person. They don't. They care about your money. They knew people would unsubscribe if they went ahead with this.
Yeah, it's like so many people are just ignoring the fact that they made that decision in the first place. And they thought that would just fly. Honestly, though, it's fucking ridiculous that Xbox Live even still exists. Xbox Live has no reason to exist. Games for Gold is shit now. They don't pay any server fees. They have Xbox Live is just giving Microsoft free money for a service that they don't actually pay anything for. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Game Pass, great service. Online's
good though.
Game Pass is great service, right?
Yeah.
But Xbox Live should not exist. You should just be able to play online games for free. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. That would be fucking nuts. Because PlayStation used to do that. That was a really big selling point for them.
Yeah.
But now they don't need that to get ahead on Xbox.
Yeah.
You know?
And obviously, it's free on PC because, you don't need to pay any network costs. I mean, Microsoft, they've saved face for a lot of people, clearly. But at the end of the day, this just shows that as much as they are trying to be the quote-unquote good company, they're trying to be the good guys, they're trying to be the company that's, oh, we're friends, we like gamers, we love our competition, guys, everyone, let's just get along and compete nicely. At the end of the day, they're still a multinational corporation that want your money. And they'll do anything they can do to get. They'll do anything they can to get it. So,
yeah, it's a fucking facade.
It is a massive, massive facade. But the thing is, Xbox is a tiny fraction of Microsoft's income. So, like, it's incredible to me that they even did it, because like it's not like they needed to hike prices. That was purely just to try and see if they could get away with making an extra $60 from people per year.
Yeah, and if you're going to push it, don't like fucking double the price. Yeah,
like that's the that's the epitome of scummy business practice. It's like this service does not cost your business anything. You do not need it for your business to run. You do not, it barely gets any profits for you as it is. There's no reason that you don't need to double, and you double it's fucking scummy, man. That's properly scummy.
That's a good closer for that one. Equivalent, it is fucking scummy.
That's equivalent to like Ubisoft putting in $13 like gear packs.
I think it's worse than that, because I think it might it's be more worse like than that, because it's more heinous, because for one, it's like a service far more people use.
Yeah.
And like it actually is a service. True. And you're fucking doubling the price.
Also, along with that, it's not optional if you want to play online, and so many people do play online. So.
That's fucking dumb.
I mean, the gaming industry is a disgusting, slimy place. we're being honest.
Yeah, of course.
It's filled with amazing people and amazing developers and people who are passionate. But the corporate side of the gaming industry is, like, Nintendo are a great example of that. Just fucking scum. Who just want to rip as much money out of it as they can.
Oh, yeah, but, like, they don't put on a facade in the same way as Xbox do.
No, Nintendo are quite open about the fact that they're a scummy business.
yeah.
That only care about money.
But they actually make... They have good exclusives and Xbox don't. So I have much more time for Nintendo.
Yeah, but they only have those exclusives because they refused to create their consoles for third-party developers for years because it would have cost them too much money and prevented them from making profit, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Yeah.
Next topic is from the Edinator, SuperTuber Eddie, who says, talk about Assassin's Creed. That's an awful start. Top five trees. Joe, what are your top five trees?
Well, the thing is, and this is a little bit of a tease, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but we, myself and Jack, are going to be making an appearance on this week's episode of the True Gamer podcast over on youtube.com/conversations. Yeah. I don't know if it's youtube.com. Conversations or Conversations Gaming.
Places,
anyway.
Joe. Get Ed. Come on.
Yes. So we will be there. So I think we keep this topic for that podcast. I think that'd be far more interesting. What? You know? I kind of want to know Eddie's top five trees as well, and Chef. So yeah. I think we leave it for then. You know,
top five in Minecraft? Because this is an interesting topic that I enjoy a lot.
I think they'd really appreciate it if we held off talking about
Assassin's
Creed.
That was a serious question, Joe.
I know, I heard you. I'm just saying. I think they'd appreciate it if we just held off. Until
yeah, it is going to be an Assassin's Creed centered episode. We spoke about this, so
yeah. As most of their episodes are, you know.
Yeah,
it's a trend on the Conversations channel. Top five Minecraft trees, though, that's interesting. I mean, number one is Dark Oak, number two is Jungle, number three is Pine.
Pine?
No, not Pine. The light one. What's the light one called?
Not Birch.
Birch.
What are you on about?
And that's it.
That's terrible. Now, it's oak, it's very versatile. Dark oak, less so, but it's nice, it's comfortable. Jungle is like, it's the opposite of dark oak. Spruce is basically also, spruce and dark oak are basically the same. And then I'd go like acacia, it sometimes has its uses. Those are the top five Minecraft trees. There
you
go.
Six.
That wasn't six.
Moving on from there, though. Our next topic is from Juice Sauce, who says, what is your most anticipated unannounced game that you think is likely or possible to be announced sometime soon? Jack, do you want to start this one off? Because I can't think of any.
Sonic.
Just Sonic, generally.
No, the next Sonic game.
Why would they make another one?
What do you mean?
Terrible franchise.
It's one of the best. Listen, with Sonic Mania being an exception, Sonic's been dreadful for 10 years as of this year.
Yes.
Right? But next Sonic game, they've had a big 4-year gap.
You're really holding out hope, aren't you?
No, I am, and I think they're going to have a new engine. I don't know what they'll do, but I think I'm just a big Sonic guy. I just want more Sonic.
Well, funnily enough, my actual answer to this is Pokemon. Which?
Oh, that wasn't my actual answer.
Oh,
but
fair
I'm
enough.
Kind of
my
excited.
Actual answer is Pokemon because I have a feeling that the next Pokemon game is going to be the long-awaited Generation 4 remaster, as they've done with like Generation 1 and 2.
I don't care.
And that is going to be absolutely beautiful, being able to see the boy, the legend, Infernape, back. Hopefully, we'll see Cynthia. That'd be absolutely lovely. And it'll just be a very nice time. So that's my
yeah, if you're a 5-year-old, maybe.
Anticipated,
fucking kitschy.
Unannounced game.
Yeah, it's childish, mate. Spider-Man 2.
Well, yeah, Spider-Man 2. That's not going to be in this for a while, though.
Nah, it'll be a few years, won't it? Crash, the next Crash game.
Crash.
I can't wait to see what they do. I really hope it's a remaster of, like, if they bundled together Twinsanity and fucking... Fuck. What's the one on the PS2?
No idea.
That's really made... Oh, my, how have I forgotten this? Basically, Crash... Crash Bandicoot games.
Also, one more. Uncharted 5.
Yeah, that'll be good. Wrath of Cortex, right, that's the one. That's a fucking decent game. I want to see what... Because Crash now, it's been revived, it's back.
Yeah.
And it's the best platformer out right now, so, you know. Yeah.
Uncharted Edithia, 5, though.
Oh, yeah.
So far, they've said that they have no immediate plans for another Uncharted when they were working on The Last of Us Part 2. But, I don't see them not capitalizing on it. I mean, it was the most... It was the highest-selling PS4 exclusive ever. So...
Mm.
Yeah, hopefully we see that in the next, what, maybe 2022? See that announced?
Yeah, well, generally, I want to see what Naughty Dog do, because, like, they'll do something with the Uncharted series, but, like, they're not just going to do an Uncharted, you know?
Mm-mm, yeah, I don't know.
So that'll be interesting seeing what they do. Anything else, you reckon?
Definitely. I'm just holding out from saying Assassin's Creed. I just was praying you wouldn't say it. GTA 6, obviously. Yeah. Unsurprisingly. But, I mean, we've just spoken about that 1,000 times.
It's going to be incredible.
It'll be okay, I'd imagine. I mean,
GTA 6 is not going to be okay.
Rockstar tend to make decent games, so, you know, I think it could be okay.
We spoke about this an hour ago, that they were the titans of the industry.
I think it has potential to be, like, pretty decent.
Really? Is this where you stand on this?
If they really pull everything together, and Jack, you cannot detect sarcasm to save your life.
Oh, fuck's sake. Nah, but that, I have an excuse for that. But, like, listen. They wouldn't do it, but my hope is that they do something in the fucking 70s where they mesh it with some of, like, Red Dead's realism. So, like...
It'll be Vice City.
Vice City. They should go to fucking...
No, it will be Vice City, though.
I don't want them to. It'd be cool, but I want them to do like some fucking Chicago or some shit.
That'd be sick. Bit of math.
But listen, do something that's like a bit bleaker, but do it where it's like you have some of Red Dead 2's mechanics. So, like, one of the things someone mentioned before was like, if you had, you couldn't carry all your guns and you'd put them in the boot of your car. Like how you put guns on your horse?
Yeah.
I would love that. They wouldn't do it, but that'd be sick.
No.
No?
Heavily disagree.
Why?
GTA is not Red Dead 2.
It's not Red Dead 2.
Sure. Sure, Rockstar games are built on similar engines, But GTA is a very specific type of game, and it's not... I think that Rockstar should continue with the ultra-realistic style they had with Red Dead 2 on a different franchise.
I don't mean entirely realistic.
It just wouldn't fit with GTA.
I mean, I don't want something as goofy... Okay. As like that's GTA fair. 5 generally.
Maybe if they went back to a tone similar to like GTA 4.
Tonally, for sure. But I don't want another GTA 5.
But I think gameplay wise, like, yeah, no, they need to keep it GTA.
I don't want a fucking stamina meter. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I think if you try and incorporate those elements into GTA, it does change the identity of the series a little bit.
I'm not saying change the entire identity.
No.
I mean, if you added like mechanics like that.
Yeah, but I feel like even that would like change its identity, because so much of it is built on like the fast paced like run and gun type thing.
Yeah, it is, to be fair. Any other unannounced games you're excited for?
I mean, I think those are the main ones that I'm actually, you know. Yeah,
the next 3D Mario game would be cool.
Always. That's just to be expected. Yeah, I think that's about it. Hopefully a Star Wars game is decent. Maybe a follow-up to Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah.
See, that,
I think that could be a really good series. If they made...
Yeah. Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed would be a really cool series.
If they made Star Wars Jedi blank, you know? Basically, like, Horizon blank, but it's Star Wars Jedi. And then you look at different, like, lesser-known Jedis throughout the history of the universe.
Oh,
and it's just, like, self-contained stories. I think that could be really cool. Because they've got, you know, they built that up. And I think Jedi Fallen Order did set a foundation for something that could be transformed into something even better. But we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so did you?
He asks, favorite TV shows? Are you going to say fucking Prison Break?
You're going to say The Sopranos.
Well, yeah, but The Sopranos is actually consistently fucking brilliant. Prison Break has two good seasons.
Yeah, out of four. That's a decent ratio.
That is a mediocre ratio.
That's a 50.
That is utterly average.
It's a 50% hit mark. Yeah,
The Sopranos is a 100% hit mark with zero inaccuracies.
Fair enough. Outside of those two, though, I mean, obviously, I think season 2 to season 9 of The Simpsons is the most immaculate piece of set of television ever created. But that's
nah. Family Guy season 4.
Oh no!
It's fucking incredible. No, you've got episodes like
I can't deny that Family Guy.
The one where Pete is retarded.
I can't deny that early Family Guy is actually good, but it's just such a fucking disgusting meme.
That's not an actual criticism for a show. It's a meme.
South Park's first 5 seasons as well. Absolutely fine.
I think Futurama. South Park seasons like Futurama.
Futurama season 1 was good, and then it just went very over the top.
Listen.
Yeah.
I'm going to check my IMDb account and see what I would say 3 years ago. It'd be the same as now.
The Walking Dead season 1. Another fantastic piece of television. And then it was ruined.
Oh, Westworld was fucking good. I only watched season 1. I watched it twice, though. And it was fucking brilliant. One of my favourites, but it was good.
Shout out to Mario with this one. How I Met Your Mother. I don't care what anyone says. How I Met Your Mother. It's fantastic. And it's a disaster that it got taken off Netflix. It's still on UK Netflix, so get NordVPN, the sponsor of this podcast. Not really. moving on from there, though. Florange.
Wait! We're not done. Okay. Why the fuck have I got a handy man at 10 out of 10? Okay, that's weird. All right, best shows ever. Breaking Bad, obviously. That's my favourite. Game of Thrones season 1 through 6. I will endure a lot of 6 because like the last 2 episodes, Battle of the Bastards, wins a winner. Fucking peak television. It's Sopranos, obviously. I'm not done yet. Succession is the best show on the fucking telly right now.
You say that about everything.
I say that exclusively about Succession. You need to watch it.
I'm not watching it, man. I'm not doing it.
Okay, well, not liking popular things isn't a personality trait, Joe. Twitter tells me this every 3 weeks, so... those are my favourites. I like Mad Men a lot. Clone Wars. In terms of favourite, not best, but, like, favourite is Revival Doctor Who. No, but, like, Season 4, if we're doing exclusively seasons, you'd agree with me on this. Doctor Who Season 4 is one of the best seasons of telly ever.
Yeah, it is. Season 3 and Season 4, I think, fit into that.
Season 3 is a bit shaky for me. A little bit. But 4...
Well, it's got its ups and downs. I think the biggest issue with Season 3 is that Martha's kind of shat on a little bit at times.
No, but that works to her favour, because in the final fucking arc, when she leaves the Doctor, sort of needs it.
Well, yeah, by the end of season 4, it feels very satisfying, but when you're in the midst of it and watching it, it can come across very frustrating at times. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but...
Yeah, I think the fucking Last of the Time Lords is really stupid when, like, Scrotum Doctor is like,
oh, yeah,
this whole time I've been hacking into the mainframe. Yeah, but, that's it for definitely. Me, I think.
Fair enough, then. All right, yeah. I think we go through a little quick speed round, right? So, rapid-fire questions, right?
Okay.
Jack, have you finally finished Last of Us 2?
No.
Will you finish Jedi Fallen Order?
No.
Valhalla or Black Flag?
Aha.
Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate.
No, because I need to plug a future video.
Okay.
Black Flag versus Valhalla. I'm writing it up. I'm checking the script. You got 5,000 words on that. It's going to be my comeback video, and it should be good. Or maybe it'll be the... It might not be the comeback video, but it's going to be good, I think. Okay. Maybe.
I was worried. You had me worried for a second there when you hesitated. Opinion on WandaVision? It's fantastic. Thank you, MCU, for doing something unique and different and not just pumping out the same shit films that you did for the last 5 years. That's an over-exaggeration, but anyway. And the rest, yeah, we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you, everyone, for sending your questions. Make sure to join the Nest Discord in the description if you haven't already. And keep an eye out. So, on Tuesdays, we record these. So, put in your podcast topics.
Also community streams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to flesh that out more than just saying the word
community streams? Well, no, I say these things, and I hope that you'll explain them.
Okay, yes. Okay. Yes, that's where I was going. Community streams are a thing that is going to be happening semi-consistently. I want to do at least one or two a month. We had Kahoot last Saturday, and that was a
and Among Us
Sunday, and that was a fucking blast. Among Us was a bit of a disaster, but it's always a bit of a disaster.
Fun. As much as it's a meme, it's a fun game.
It is. Might jump in some other games. Also, we got the Nest Minecraft server, so we'll get that going. And yeah, just all round Nest server generally. It's going to be popping this year, hopefully. So keep an eye out. Join if you haven't already. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Jack, is there anything that we have not mentioned that you would like to talk about?
Since at the end of, I can think
at
of.
The end of every podcast, you go, wait.
Nah, generally, this is it. I'm fucking shattered.
As always.
Nah, I had to say that so we could end the podcast, because it's just tradition at this point.
It is a ritual. Well,
I'm never not tired when I do these.
You're never not tired. That's to be fair, I'm never not tired either. Life is pretty exhausting.
Okay.
Well, anyway, thank you all so much for watching or listening. Bye. Make sure to hit like 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know how it is. Thank you again. Shout out to Jack for just being an absolute gamer. And we'll see you all in the next one. Much love. Game.
All right. Good night, boys.